Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Extra Serving, a podcast by the Last Bite Network and Nation's Restaurant News. I am your host, Holly Petrie, and I'm joined by two of my colleagues.
My name is Sam Okus. I am the editor-in-chief of Nation's Restaurant News.
And I'm Ron Ruggles, senior editor with Nation's Restaurant News.
Welcome, Ron. We're so excited to have you this week in our conversation.
It's great to be on with you.
Now, you are in Texas, just so we can let all of our listeners know. We have a little bit of the central West Coast here representing from the two East Coasters. So it's nice to have you from another part of the country.
Y'all are making me feel very welcome. Thank you.
I feel like we should ask Ron, how's the weather, Ron?
We actually got some hurricane rain here. It's actually very nice. I'm not going to complain.
Before you hopped on the phone, Ron and I did speak about the weather. So we got that all covered.
Got that out of the way. Okay. That's the staple of every conversation on Zoom and Teams. We are obligated. I think it's in the contract when you sign up for these services.
It's just pleasantries. We're trying to exchange pleasantries. Be right. Nice, cordial adults, respectful. Trying. Sometimes failing.
I'm sorry. Did you just use respectful and you in the same context? Huh?
That's why I said trying and failing. I was covering for it. All right. So let's get into the news of the week. The biggest news of the entire week for everyone was the recall in California. Governor Newsom was not recalled. He stood on his platform, which was what a lot of California has followed during the pandemic. Mask mandates, restaurant closures were some of the big tenets of his administration, that California was so locked down while the rest of the country was open. Vaccine mandates was a big tenet of this recall, but he was not recalled. He gets to remain as governor, which I think means that we're going to see a lot more of these vaccine mandates throughout California, which has been a conservative state when it's come to COVID. Now, Ron, I know that you did some exit poll checks. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, I thought it was interesting that this whole recall started because of a restaurant. It was when Gavin Newsom went to the French Laundry unmasked early on after putting out some mandates. And it was fascinating that it kind of ended with the pandemic as well, because ABC News did some exit polling and they found that the pandemic was the top issue for fully 31% of the voters in the recall election on Tuesday. And I think it totaled 65% approved of what Governor Newsom was doing in the state. So I think it was more a mandate on the pandemic and and the state's reaction than it was on Newsom in general. So I thought it was interesting. And I think restaurateurs are going to see more of the same. I think that's what the result's going to be.
Yeah, I think that it is hard to suggest that this has a lot of meaning for the rest of the country, just because the country is so varied in its opinions on things. But it is probably important to point out how much this was very much an affirmation that a big chunk of the population supports pretty stringent measures as it relates to vaccine mandates. And so California, definitely a little bit of its own thing when it comes to state politics. But it's just absolutely important to remember this, because I think for restaurants, especially those restaurants with a presence in California or in cities, I don't think we're going to see, we haven't seen the end of the vaccine mandates. We haven't seen the end of a little bit more stringent regulations to try to rein this thing in. And there's significant public support for it. Now, of course, there's also significant public opposition, and that's a whole other thing to deal with. But yeah, it's as restaurants really try to figure out what is the right thing to do here, just know that there is public support for doing some extreme things that we maybe wouldn't have been comfortable with before. And let that be an affirmation that you can make that decision. And then hopefully it won't be too long before we can pull back on some of these things, that we can start to ride out out the surge. Now, look, what I heard this morning is that the surge, there are some signs the surge is starting to ebb. So, you know, hopefully we only have a few more weeks of really needing to do more of a lockdown approach to things. And that's really, really hopefully we don't have another surge in a couple of months. But yeah, we've got to take some action. And I do think what we can learn from this election this week is that the public, a big chunk of the public, does support that action.
And I admire any restaurant company that has spans over multiple states having to deal with the individual mandates as they ebb and flow in each of the states. It's truly been a phenomenal 18 months for these folks, and it doesn't show much sign of change stopping anytime soon.
Do you guys think that we're going to see more restrictions in California now that the stress of the recall is over, that Newsom's going to put in some statewide measures?
I don't personally, I don't think so, because economy was like number two in the exit polls. And anytime you clamp down on business, you're clamping down somewhat on the economy. So I have a feeling that there's going to be a balancing act in favor of fewer but sane restrictions going forward.
That's what we like to hear. We like to hear fewer restrictions, but still safety. There's a balance that we've all been trying, that all the restaurants have been trying to strike throughout the pandemic, is how do we still make money? How do we survive? But how do we keep our employees and customers safe? So it's the real struggle.
Yeah. And I'm telling you this from Texas, which virtually has no sorts of restrictions. So it's all relative at this point.
Texas, another state that's like its own entity, just like California. Our two country states are right.
Exactly.
We'll have to save that for next week's episode. When Ron's not on, we'll have somebody else come on. We'll talk dirt about Texas.
Dirt about California now that Lisa's not here, and we'll talk dirt about Texas once Ron's off the podcast.
Yeah, just remember the Alamo.
Well, also this week, so Ron, you covered Pret A Manger's new subscription service for their coffee. Panera Bread had one immediately as the pandemic was starting, not related. Panera Bread did not predict the pandemic, but their coffee service came out, I think, in February of that year. And it's funny that all these subscriptions are coming out. Taco Bell, I'm in graduate school at night while I work, and people were bringing this up in a Slack channel that have nothing to do with food or restaurant. They're writers, they're students in other parts, and they were bringing up all sorts of articles about food subscription services. And I was like, this has really penetrated every sense of the world that these big brands are doing food subscriptions. It was so interesting to me to see that pop up. It was like my worlds were crossing. It was so absolutely bizarre, but it really goes to show that this is such a big decision that it's really impacting everyone.
Yeah, Hudson Real of the National Restaurant Association has predicted that subscriptions would take hold. This was 3-4 years ago, because they're a great vehicle for restaurants to maintain an income stream, and also it gives customers a chance to save money, which I think is both good. The one with Pret A Manger was just started this week again, but it actually relies on a test that they did with coffee passes in the past. Technology has played a big part in allowing these subscription services to really get a foothold, because it allows you to just show I think in Pret's case, they're just showing a QR code. And they can go in every 30 minutes and get up to 5 drinks a day. So it's an amazing thing that technology is certainly helping as far as giving the subscribers a chance to use it easily.
Yeah, it really makes me think about loyalty programs in general too, because loyalty has been really buzzy for the last couple of years. I mean, obviously punch card's been around for eons, but to Ron's point, now with technology and being able to have a loyalty program, you know, via app, via, you know, the phone in your pocket, makes it so much easier to leverage. And so these subscriptions are right in line with the trends in loyalty, in that you are really tapping into somebody's affinity for your brand and rewarding it And in return, you better believe they're going to be collecting a lot of data about your habits and what you're buying. And so really beneficial for the brand in that not only do they let you let the customer feel a little bit more special, you know, take a little bit of the, you know, make it a little bit more convenient for them. But also, yeah, I mean, all of this comes back to data and what you can learn about your customers when facilitating these through an app. So, yeah, I think it's really smart. I think generally, you know, I don't think subscription programs are going to be, I don't think every brand is going to jump on it all of a sudden, but I do think every brand should be taking a long, hard look at some version of a loyalty program because of not only that's just what people expect and it's easily facilitated through an app, but it's really going to help you collect a lot of data on your customers.
I also think during the pandemic, the loyalty programs and the ability of the brands to communicate with their customers was really important. You could say we're closing down or here's a special offer to welcome you back because our dining rooms are open. So I think like everything during the pandemic, it accelerated how people are using these loyalty programs.
The other thing I would say, too, is, you know, I think about subscriptions of the last couple of years and you just think about, I guess the thing that jumps to mind is Blue Apron. You know, when you're paying that flat fee, monthly fee, you know, you receive something in the mail. It's funny because it is such a perceived value, right? Like, oh, a box showed up in my, you know, at my house. And yes, I paid for it, but I didn't watch myself do that transaction. Therefore, it feels like magic. I don't know. There's something about that subscription mentality that has really taken hold with our country. And I know, you know, this is in Stitch Fix for clothes and there are all these other companies that are really leaning into that. And it's just interesting to think about because I do think we have a mentality now for customers where it is about that ease and it's about that feeling like you're, you know, this says something about you. You know, if you get a subscription at a Panera or Pret, it's like you're allowing yourself into that VIP club with them. And so I don't know, I guess processing that a little bit more, I do think it's a clever way to tap into sort of the psyche of the customer because I think that's really what this comes down to.
They tapped into my psyche. I hear the word subscription and I go, that's it. That's for me. I get maybe 80% of the things that I get every month delivered on a monthly basis. Medications, food, toiletries, everything I subscribe to. I get my shampoo delivered to me in a box. If you can subscribe, I'm there. And a lot of people in my generation, I'm obviously a millennial, a lot of people feel the same way. I think it's
obviously.
I think it's pretty obvious.
All right.
And Holly, I'm a baby boomer, and I used
obviously.
I used ordering online to just avoid people during the pandemic.
I love avoiding people. That's why I like everything delivered to me. I love the magic of getting the box, and I love not having to speak to someone. So you say subscription, and I'm in.
If there's one thing I've learned about Ron, it's that he's a curmudgeon.
Well, an interesting thing about subscription services is places like Cooper's Hawk, which has the wine subscription service, have found it's a great way to increase traffic into the restaurant because people go and pick up their monthly subscription of wine at the restaurant and thus have a meal at the restaurant. So it drives traffic as well.
That's an interesting thing to think about. That,
by the way, you know, This is a good chance for us to say, go subscribe to Nation's Restaurant News, NRN.com. You can also subscribe to our publication in our newsletters right in your email inbox, fresh for you at 7 a.m. every morning. Okay, sorry. There we go.
And Holly, your loyalty will be rewarded.
And we're collecting the data.
Subscribe to our podcast, Extra Serving. You can also subscribe to Sam's podcast, Takeaway with Sam Okus.
That's right. Well done. There's the plug.
Thank you. See, I can do a plug. I could do a plug. But Sam, why don't you tell us about who you talked to on your podcast this week for a nice, easy transition?
Oh, thanks for bringing that up, Holly. What a coincidence. Yes, this week on Takeaway, I spoke with Anita Adams. She is the CEO of Black Bear Diner. Speaking of California, they are based in Northern California, a diner franchise with almost 150 locations. You know, look, this is going to be a recurring theme, but I think it's important to kind of hit on as much as we can, which is really in the full service industry, how much has the off-premises revolution and technology revolution changed things for FSRs? And so we really dig into that, especially for Black Bear Diner, which is a diner, obviously, but they really lean into, you know, they really have this great experience. Come sit. They have a cabin style restaurant that they have for all their locations. You know, this kind of place, you said you're cup of coffee is getting refreshed, you know, constantly. This is a part of sort of the Americana experience that we all know and love about diners. And so what becomes of that in this world with off-premises and with technology? So it's really at the root of the conversation with Anita Adams, CEO of Black Bear Diner, on this week's Takeaway.
So quite the opposite of a subscription. You are sitting down in that diner, which sounds delicious. I'm hungry already.
That's right.
Now, Ron, you are our interviewer this week, and you spoke with someone very special. Can you tell us a little bit about that? A little unknown, nobody that people have not heard of, named Shaquille O'Neal.
I had the distinct opportunity to meet Shaquille O'Neal at his restaurant in Las Vegas, Nevada, Big Chicken, which he is starting to franchise in a big franchise push. I mean, Shaquille has a big background at Papa John's and Krispy Kreme and is a former Five Guys franchisee, but now he's taken a lot of the knowledge from that and is creating his own chicken sandwich concept called Big Chicken. So I had the opportunity to sit down with him as well as CEO Josh Halpern and discuss their expansion plans, which, as I was sitting there, they announced the big deal with Ghost Kitchens out of Canada to put the Big Chicken menu into Walmart's. So it's a very interesting story, and I really enjoyed talking with Mr. O'Neal.
Well, I cannot wait to listen to you and Mr. O'Neal speak about chicken. Sounds wonderful.
I'm jealous, by the way. I would just like to say, I'm going to date myself here a little bit, but I had a poster of Shaq on my wall when I was a kid, when he was a rookie with the Magic. I love that guy. And to the point of him being a big deal, like, who doesn't not like Shaq? Everybody loves Shaq. It's such a great thing that he's in the restaurant industry.
And it's also interesting, in talking with CEO Josh Halpern, his Shaq's approval rating or likability rating among the public is so high that he considers that one of his main goals in franchising Big Chicken is to maintain the quality of the likability rating for Shaq. So it hits all the elements there.
He seems so nice. I can't wait to listen to the conversation.
I hope you'll enjoy it. I enjoyed meeting him.
Josh, about your involvement, but tell me how you feel about Big Chicken. And man, you are tall. I just want to say that. Get out of the way.
I think it's an outstanding concept, motto, big food, big flavor, and big fun. I am the ambassador of fun. Everything I do is all about fun. It's something that me and Matt have been doing behind closed doors for years. I met Matt a long time ago. Matt was the one who introduced me to the business and let me be part of his company. But Matt would get frustrated because every time I come in town, Shaq, what do you want? Chicken sandwich. Shaq, our restaurant did such and such numbers of chicken. Just look at the menu. No, chicken sandwich. All right, what do you want on a cheese? What? Yeah, fried chicken sandwich with American cheese and ketchup. So finally, you know, we had a meeting. I said, Matt, everybody's crazy about chicken sandwiches now. I think it's time to come out with Big Chicken. And me, Matt, and you know, the other team, you know, we put it together, we put a concept together. This is our first store, it's going very well. They opened up a store in Pasadena. Visual, it's also doing very well. We got exclusive on Carnival ships. How many?
Right now we're in one, and the other ones, we're going to be in three by the end of next year.
Yes, we hired a board. improvement, so we're about to expand quickly, swiftly, and correctly. So I've been bugging him for years. Time to franchise me, time to franchise these things up. But what I always love about Matt is he's very calculated. He's been in the business for a long time, so instead of rushing, because all the Shaq's restaurant, we want to make sure it has a dotted T's across, and make sure everything is done correctly, people are trained well. Now that time is now. And, you know, the main thing you want to accomplish, because I own franchises too, as a franchisee and a franchisor, I want to make sure there's no problems. I want to make sure everything's seamless, because I've seen a lot of franchisees do what they want to do and cause conflict and lose stores and just penalize and all that. We want to bring them to Big Chicken University, Cluck University, whatever, train them well, make sure everything. Because what I like about most of the big brands is no matter what city you go in, the food tastes the same. And that's what I want for Big Chicken.
You mentioned your other Five Guys, Papa John's, Krispy Kreme. What about those franchising frameworks do you hope to either borrow for Big Chicken or avoid?
Well, the companies that you named, well, the Five Guys, I don't own that anymore. I sold that anymore. You know, Krispy Kreme and Papa John's are very popular and respected brands. So we want to use a little bit of their infrastructure. But this guy right here has been my teammate for 20 years. I trust him. Dwight Eisenhower said the greatest leaders are the ones smart enough to hire people smarter. So when it comes to that line of work, this guy right here is in control. And being on an NBA championship team, I know you can't do things by yourself. So when it comes to stuff like that, the structure and stuff like that, I really rely on Matt's input on how to get things done.
I understand you have some direction in the sandwiches, and especially as they're named, especially one that's big and sloppy.
Yes, we have a lot of love argument meetings. Like I say, Matt, try this. Okay. Shaq, try this. Like, Matt's funny because Matt will call me and tell me an idea first and you know I won't like it. And then he'll say, okay, you need to do chicken tomorrow. Bring who you want. If you taste it, if you like it, it goes on. If you don't like it, it won't go. He's fair.
So I may have told Ron, though, the story on how Charles Barkley ended up with the sandwich on our menu.
And Charles came here one day, he was doing something with TNT. Oh my God, he won the best sandwich ever. Charles, can we name the sandwich after you? Sure. How much you charge me? It's free. Go ahead. So I told Matt, I said, okay, Matt, I want you to make the biggest, sloppiest sandwich and name it after Charles Barkley.
So you put mac and cheese on it and a bunch of stuff and made it big and sloppy.
And I understand it's a pretty popular sandwich.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's
really
the number
two.
Number two right now.
Who's number one? Uncle Jerome?
Uncle Jerome.
You are no stranger to multi-unit restaurants. You just showed up in an Applebee's TikTok video for their fancy life.
That was an accident.
You crept up on her.
No, what happened was I had a show, a little DJ show in Tampa. So we had to drive through Alligator Alley to get to Miami. So that was the only thing there. So I was eating. When I came out, this lady was jamming. I just got behind and started jamming with her, and then she didn't recognize it first. She said, oh, hey, Shaq, and I gave her a hug, and then it just went viral. I mean, but she was really having a good time. Like, I didn't know what she was doing. She was just, I mean, like, as soon as you walk out, my truck was parked right there, she was, and I just, I got behind her.
What do you think sets Big Chicken apart from other chicken-based restaurants?
Bigger size portions. Matt and Mai's creative flavor, different style sandwiches. Like, I've never been to a place where you can put macaroni and cheese on a sandwich. So Matt is very artistic when it comes to, putting these things together. And it's just different. Like, I've been to Cane's, I've been to Wendy's, like, I've tried all that stuff. Our stuff is very unique, very different. It tastes good, because that's what me and Matt do next.
Speaking of tasting good, when you come to Big Chicken, what do you usually order?
Since day one, the only sandwich I've eaten is the MDE, because I created that sandwich.
So you created the sandwich.
Most dominant ever. All it is chicken, with some cheese, some pickles, and some ketchup, some fries. I said, I'm a creature of habit, and Matt hates that about me. But
there's no ketchup on it. I don't allow it. He has the Jack sauce, which is awesome.
You're right.
What's in the Shaq sauce?
Can't tell you all the secrets, but it's got like, barbecue flavor to it. You'll try it today, but it's like a creamy barbecue.
expanding Big Chicken?
Just being able to go in different cities and see the concept that Matt and I created. You know, when I was growing up, mother really stressed education and having things to fall back on and just, you know, following your dreams. I always wanted to own franchises. I remember me and Magic Johnson at 18 years old, he said, it's okay to be famous, but at some point you want to start owning businesses. So, you know, I only made one big mistake. That was by turning down Starbucks franchises. I turned that down because I didn't think that would work. Starbucks in every city, that was one of my big mistakes ever. So after that, I really, you know, buckled down and focused. And then that made me say to myself, you don't know everything. So now you got to start hanging out with people that are not smarter. So I couldn't do what Matt does by myself. So I'm glad I got a shooting guard that shoots like Steph Curry.
You got a New Jersey background.
Yes, right? North.
But the menu here is kind of a little bit southern feel. Where would you say your culinary influences come from?
My mother is from Dublin, Georgia. So even though I'm from the East Coast, everything grew down the southern. Broccoli, cornbread, chicken, macaroni and cheese. The reason why I love chicken so much is because during hard times, you can get 2-3 big chickens, and that'll last the family a month. One night is dark meat, next night is white meat, and then, you know, towards the end, before payday, wings. So my mom used to get 5, 6, 7, 8 big chickens, and just all of them there. You know, we eat a lot of stuff, and the times start getting tight. Chicken. So that's why I love chicken so much.
And what should the public, especially franchisees, know about Big Chicken from the Shaquille O'Neal perspective? Well,
they should know that this is a place of fun. This is something different. You definitely love the quality of the food. You definitely love the taste. We had to call a lot of... Who did I call?
French fry guy. I had him call the manufacturers when we...
The chicken guy.
The chicken one.
Yes.
To make sure that we got the best quality. So we spec'd out everything.
Yes. And that was all Matt's doing. Matt was like, oh, this is the best chicken ever. We actually flew up there. The guy showed us his operation. I was like, okay. The French fry guy was like, look, we don't want to just, you know, we want to design a special fry for us and us only. If you look at our fries, they're long, fat, and skinny. Yeah, I don't always see a lot of people doing that.
Well, I know we're limited on time, but thank you for meeting with us today. I appreciate it.
And you do have the best mustache in the business.
Go ahead, introduce yourself, Josh, and tell us a little bit about Hex, where we're at today, and a little bit more about the company in general.
Yeah, so my name is Josh Halpern. I'm the CEO of both Big Chicken and Beer Park, which are both JRS hospitality concepts. We have an ownership group for Big Chicken that's really a three-legged stool, if you will. The first owner is Shaquille O'Neal, who everyone in the world knows, right? The second group is Authentic Brands Group. Everyone has at least 5 items of clothing in their closet. That's ABG. I mean, these guys bought Reebok a week or two ago. They own Brooks Brothers, J. Crew, Nautica, Tommy Hilfiger, as well as do licensing for a bunch of celebrities like Shaquille O'Neal, Elvis Presley, Marilyn Monroe, Muhammad Ali. And then the third group's JRS Hospitality. And, you know, if you come to Las Vegas, you've probably eaten at one point or another in a JRS establishment. Beer Park by Budweiser is one of the top beer bars in the United States at the Paris Hotel. That's theirs. They also have Hex, Cabo Wabo, Chayo, and Alexis. So it's a restaurant group that just on the Las Vegas Strip does north of $100 million in revenue and actually has the most amount of outdoor dining seats of any restaurant group in Las Vegas.
And your background is somewhat in restaurants as well because background with Budweiser.
From the other side of it, right? So for a few years, I was at Anheuser-Busch InBev as their head of on-premise for the United States. So I had everything, you know, restaurants, nightclubs, hotels, stadiums. That's actually how I got to know JRS Hospitality. the Beer Park by Budweiser. I was the by Budweiser side of that equation when we built Beer Park in 2015. So it's great to be now sitting on the other side of the partnership.
And you said you were telling me a little bit about coming down the strip in with the Budweiser horses?
Yeah, we built a world-class concept for beer. We wanted to just create the ultimate beer experience. It was important to JRS and it was important to Anheuser-Busch. So when we opened the restaurant, I'll never forget the date. It was January 30th, 2016, right? Somehow we managed to close down a chunk of the Las Vegas Strip. And two of the three JRS owners, Corey Jenkins and Perry Rogers, as well as myself, sat on top of the Budweiser Clydesdales. And there were all these people outside, I think 40,000 people I heard, taking photos of us going down the Las Vegas Strip. And then the mayor of Las Vegas, Mayor Goodman, was there to meet us when the Clydesdale hitch pulled up. And we declared the day, Budweiser Beer Park Day. And Beer Park was open. It was unbelievable. Now it's one of the top grossing beer-led restaurants in the United States.
Well, we're meeting in Hex, where there's a little quiet corner that we're at.
Yeah.
But tell us a little bit about Big Chicken.
Yeah, so, Big Chicken, it's a concept not like too many others, right? So you basically have Shaquille O'Neal with two world-class culinary chefs, right? Guys that have a stellar reputation throughout Las Vegas who work together to create a menu that was rooted in Shaquille O'Neal's passion, Shaquille O'Neal's childhood, but done in a very almost gourmet casual sort of way, right? So people come to Big Chicken because they want to be attached to Shaquille O'Neal. He's one of the most popular celebrities in the world, over 20 million social media followers and whatnot. But they keep coming back because the quality of the food is really, really great. And the results so far have been strong, and we just started franchising it.
And you launched the franchise with the cruise line, or was that started after?
Yeah, so we launched our FDD after. Being a partner with Shaquille O'Neal is interesting because opportunities come your way that you're not expecting, right? So when Shaquille re-upped his Carnival Cruise Line deal, one of the things that he personally asked for in that negotiation was that they put a Big Chicken on every ship, right? And Carnival said, well, can't we start with a couple and see how it goes, right? Which is understandable. So we just launched on the Mardi Gras a couple weeks ago, and that first cruise that they did, I hope it stays this way forever, Ron, I really do, because the average person on the boat ate 2.2 sandwiches. Wow. During their cruise, right? And you think about all the people that wouldn't eat a fried chicken sandwich. You had a few people there every day, I think, So we're going into a few arenas. We're announcing today that we're entering Ghost Kitchens through Ghost Kitchen Brands and Walmart. We'll be in a casino in Baton Rouge, Louisiana next year. That's been publicly announced. And now we're launching a franchise program through the FDD. So we have a lot of interesting sticks in the fire that a lot of emerging chains wouldn't necessarily have the opportunity to participate in.
You've already announced some of the arena locations.
Yeah.
How many arena locations are you in?
We'll be going into three arenas over the next 7 or 8 months, but there's a few other arenas and airports that we're currently in negotiations with. But we'll enter the Climate Pledge Arena in October, which is the new one in Seattle, as well as the UBS Arena where the Islanders are playing in New York, also in October, November.
And to listeners, the Walmart deal is new to me. I've not heard about that. Tell us a little bit about that and the background there.
Yeah, so it was announced today, right? I'm announcing it with you, quite honestly, right? The press release just broke within the last hour. We got to interact with a company called Ghost Kitchen Brands, and Walmart is looking to change their image a little bit inside their stores. And obviously everyone in America has shopped at a Walmart at one point or another, whether you're at home or on vacation or whatnot. And Ghost Kitchen Brands has the ability to start putting the Ghost Kitchen concepts into where the McDonald's or Subway used to be inside these Walmarts, right? They're going to have a bunch of concepts under one roof, between 10 and 20, depending on the roof. And one of the leaders in their kind of box is going to be Big Chicken. So our first Walmart location with Ghost Kitchen Brands actually opens next week. It's going to be in Rochester, New York, right? We'll be in 4 by the end of September, and we think 20 to 30 by the end of this year. And it's just a great way to get brand exposure and get trial out. And we have amazing partners with George Kotis, Mark Choi, and the entire Ghost Kitchen Brands team.
And when you say Ghost Kitchen, these will not just be delivery virtual
No.
brands. They're consumer-facing.
It's both, right? So there's going to be some delivery, but also consumer-facing. So imagine the ability to walk into a Walmart, walk up to a Ghost Kitchen Brands kiosk, place your order, time it for 15 or 20 minutes later, go do your shopping trip, and then your food's ready to go when you're leaving the store, right? Pretty unique experience for the guest, and really tying that retail shopper and that guest experience together. Shaquille's been doing business with Walmart for years and years. He sold millions of shoes at Walmart and so many other initiatives that for us, the ability to partner with Walmart and Ghost Kitchen Brands is exciting, especially given, you know, we get a premium for our check size. You know, we're going to be one of the leaders in the initiative.
That's, congratulations on that. That sounds very exciting. Will the trade dress be similar to what you have here in Las Vegas?
No, the trade dress is going to be a Ghost Kitchen Brands trade dress, but because of the nature of Shaquille and because of the popularity of fried chicken, we'll be one of the marketing leads behind the Ghost Kitchen Brands initiative.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Speaking from a franchise perspective, what's attractive about, especially Big Chicken, from a franchisee's point of view?
I think a few things. I could talk about it all day. I know we have limited time, right? I think one of the best parts about it is, you know, this was concept was built by two top-notch chefs in Las Vegas. It wasn't two frat bros start a chicken company.
Yeah, let's name the chefs.
Matt Silverman, who is the S in JRS, you know, who was the youngest chef that Wolfgang Puck ever had in one of his restaurants, and you know, was the executive chef of Vintner Grill and then came into the JRS group. And Matt Pikarski, who's worked with Matt Silverman for years and years and is really one of the most innovative chefs I've ever worked with. So they worked out all the recipes. Matt Silverman still can't drink our milkshake because of the PTSD of identifying the milkshake. He believes he drank like 50 gallons of milkshake mix, right? Maybe less than that, right? But you know, he'll try the LTOs. But they literally worked their butts off to get the ideal milkshake mix, the ideal breading. It took over 6.5 months to figure out the breading the right way. And then because of the nature of JRS and because of the tie-in with Shaquille, we went out and got all the suppliers, top-notch suppliers, right? Like the top guys in most categories to be our supply partner, so that our franchisees have everything sort of worked out for them already on the food side and on the operation side. We're also in a unique position. My number two job is growing Big Chicken every day. My number one job is protecting the legacy and reputation of Shaquille O'Neal, right? There are only 18 celebrities in the history of the world that have a 100% E-score. And it's way more complicated than the way I'm about to explain it. But in layman's terms, imagine like the 1 to 5 Likert scale, where like a 3 is neutral. You pull out the 3s and you say 4s and 5s minus 1s and 2s. And that's your E-score. Shaquille's at 100%. The only two celebrities that are at 100% that are also athletes are The Rock and Jackie Chan, right? So it's those three. The minute that 100 falls to 99, we lose, right? We lose way more than anything that would happen at Big Chicken. So every day I look for 4 wins, right? And this, we talk about this with our franchisees. We behave in this way as well. The 4 wins. First, our guests need to win, right? And our guest is always going to come first. But our guest needs to win because they're ultimately judge and jury, right? If our guest has an amazing experience, they win, right? We win. The second win has to be our franchisees. We had to figure out supply chain models, training protocols, front of house experience, back of house experience. We're already engineered like we're a 400 unit chain because our franchisees need to say, I decided to partner with Shaquille O'Neal and it was an amazing experience. They can't have a negative experience, which means we have the hard job of doing everything above board. The third group's our suppliers, right? I come from a supplier. I have 21 years experience on that side of the desk, working for Procter & Gamble, Clorox, Reckitt-Benckiser, Anheuser-Busch InBev, among others. I mean, the supplier-retailer relationship could either be very contentious or very positive. We work with a partnership-first approach with our suppliers. We bring them into our innovation process so that they want to work with us, be a good growth engine for them as well. And then if we're winning with our guests, our franchisees and our suppliers, odds are Big Chicken wins too, right? That's the fourth win. And that's the way we run the company every day. So long answer to a short question, I apologize.
Well, no, and you mentioned suppliers. Right now it's such a huge problem for a lot of franchise organizations. The supply chain has just been blown up because of COVID. So yeah, getting that ironed out early is probably very wise.
Yeah, and we've already signed a master distributor deal to help us ensure supply chain everywhere in the United States, which is important. Distribution is definitely a place that could hurt. we're in daily conversations with most of our suppliers, if not daily, at least weekly. And truthfully, communication and forecasting is key. And I think a lot of retailers, they miss the mark because they're not putting adequate time on supply chain and on forecasting. That was my entire life for over 20 years. We're not going to make that mistake. We would rather have the conversation way in advance and partner with our suppliers. I mean, I see some of our suppliers' production schedules, so I know exactly when they're making our product, because we can't let our supply chain go to waste. We need those four wins. We can't get that without the supply chain.
Bestseller for Big Chicken, what is that?
A chicken sandwich. We have several chicken sandwiches. Our chicken process is pretty unique. So it's a 5-ounce chicken patty, where most chicken sandwiches are in the 2 to 2.5 ounce range, right? It's breaded in store with a proprietary kind of technology and a proprietary breading mix. But then there's different inclusions on the sandwiches, and the sandwiches are named after people in Shaquille's life, like his bodyguard Jerome, which is the Uncle Jerome sandwich, or Charles Barkley randomly has a sandwich named after him as well.
There's also Chicago, right?
In Chicago, yeah. Don't want to forget about Chicago. We have a buffalo chicken sandwich called Chicago, which, you know, I used to work for a Buffalo-based company. That doesn't make sense for a lot of them. But his best friend is named Chicago, and he loves buffalo chicken sandwiches. So it's, we didn't name a buffalo chicken sandwich Chicago after a city. We named it after a person.
I know the Las Vegas store has full bar.
It does.
Do you see that in Glendale and other locations?
We don't have it in Glendale. I mean, alcohol is an amazing add-on to a fast casual establishment, but you don't have the same degree of interaction with a bar as you do with casual dining. The way we have our bar in Las Vegas, once our line goes more than 5 people at the register, our bartender starts pulling people to the bar to allow them to order, and we're able to work through our line faster. In Las Vegas, having a bar is almost a prerequisite to any restaurant, right? Taco Bell has a bar on the Las Vegas Strip, right? So, we work with our franchisees. If it makes sense for them to have a bar, they'll have bars. And if it doesn't make sense, that's okay too. When it comes to the beverage side, we're more proud of our milkshakes than anything in the alcohol side.
Toward the end of 2021 and into 2022, where do you see Big Chicken?
I mean, right now we're working with a lot of multi-unit franchisees, and we're getting close to being able to make some pretty big announcements. Because Shaquille's appeal is universal, there's not like the, well, this is our development approach and this is the cities we're targeting. We're targeting sort of everywhere. So we'll get a few multi-unit guys going. We're gonna have the arenas turn on, the casino turn on, the two other Carnival cruise ships that still have to turn on will turn on, and that Ghost Kitchen deal we talked about earlier, we're going to be busy.
And the Ghost Kitchen deal, how many does that involve? How many outlets?
So it's going to be 30-ish between now and the end of the year, but they have big growth plans for next year and beyond with Walmart. They just haven't announced it yet, so neither can I.
And for franchisees and just people in the business, what do you think... 5 years down the road, where would Big Chicken be?
I mean, ultimately, the nice thing about this concept with Shaquille, we can go anywhere, right? And we will. We will try to go anywhere. We ultimately want to work with the right partners. We have 3 international deals that people are talking to us where they brought to us the right business plan, and we're actively entertaining those 3 deals. It's one of the best parts and craziest parts of my job is just how frenetic it is because of the nature of Shaquille and Authentic Brands Group and the ownership groups that I have.
And last question, what do you look for in franchisees? What kind of background do you prefer or do you think your most successful franchisee should have?
Yeah, I mean, we love passion, right? Our mantra is big food, big flavor, big fun, right? We want people that truly love being in the restaurant business because they truly love being in the restaurant business, right? For us, that's really the most important thing. We're not looking for folks that view a restaurant business as a Microsoft Excel spreadsheet, you know? We're looking for people that genuinely love building the guest experience and watching the surprise and delight. I've attended every day of Discovery in person myself, right? Watching the surprise and delight with them and them talking about the operations is so critical. We also look for multi-unit folks that want to build a slightly bigger area who they want to grow with us, right? They want to be able to give us constructive feedback. They understand that the partnership first approach is going to be the path, and sort of like those two fists, you know, bumping each other doesn't make sense, that there's a two-way corridor for feedback. We're just looking for strong operators that want to have some fun and want to do just great restaurants with us.
And of all the questions that we asked you today, is there anything I missed or you'd like to communicate about Big Chicken or any of the other projects you have?
Yeah, I think one of the things is just we have really big fun on our menu, right? And there are some things in that menu that will surprise you that I mean, they surprised me when I started, right? We sell a cookie, a chocolate chip cookie, for $12. Now that seems crazy, right? Anyone hearing this is going to be like, what the heck, right? It's literally the circumference of an NBA basketball. Okay, like I bring home this cookie for my three boys when I fly back to New York Metro from Las Vegas. They beg for it. It takes them 4 days to get through this cookie. It's okay that it's $12, you know what I mean? It's 4 days of dessert, you know? But that's part of the big fun of this. We already talked about the size of the chicken sandwich. Our shakes are 20-ounce shakes, right? There's little nods to Shaquille everywhere without it being cheesy. It's not a Shaquille concept, but when you're at the sauce station or the soda station, Shaquille's footprints are on the ground, right? We have one chair in each restaurant that's just ginormous compared to all the other chairs in the restaurant. If anyone asks, what's the deal with that chair? Oh, that's Shaquille's chair, right? And there's all of these little notions that just get people chuckling. And as we grow Big Chicken, we're going to integrate that more into the marketing. So when we launch in the arenas in October, there's going to be a QR code on our boats, and it's just going to say, "Hear from Shaq." And when you click on it, Shaquille pops up and is going to tell you different things about our restaurants and why he's excited to have a restaurant where we're at. And he gets a really big kick out of this. You know, for Shaquille, it's not like he got paid some deal for us to be able to use his name and likeness. He's our number one shareholder. Yesterday, he randomly showed up at the Las Vegas location and just walked into the kitchen and started hanging out with the chefs while they were preparing food. He loves this concept, and that makes it even more special that my number one job is protecting his legacy and reputation every day, because for him and Big Chicken are really integrated together.
And Shaquille O'Neal happens to be 7'1", as I understand, so he stands out when he enters the restaurant.
Yeah, we can't exactly do undercover boss with Shaquille, even though they tried to on that Papa John's commercial, right? You know, but he definitely stands out. He just loves being around people, and he loves food. And the fact that we were able to create a culinary experience through those two chefs, Matt Silverman and Matt Pekarsky, that we mentioned earlier, he really, really loves all of it. And he takes tremendous pride in the fact that he was able to do that. And, you know, one of the things I should have said earlier is, remember, Shaquille's a franchisee, right? So that's the other interesting dynamic as part of those four wins. He's a franchisee who is part of the Krispy Kreme system, the Five Guys system, the Papa John's system. He's on the board of Papa John's. So he knows what goes into creating a good franchisor system where other franchisor systems have struggled, right? And he also understands what my number one goal is every day. And I said it to him. He didn't say it to me about that being my number one goal. But as a result, we're building a system from the franchisee's eyes, but that's a franchisor system because now he's playing the other side of the screen.
And he also came up with the chacaroni pizza for Papa John's, as I understand.
Absolutely, yeah, as well as some other fun LTOs.
And tell me, the $12 cookie that you mentioned, does the chocolate come out of the chocolate factory we have next door to us here at X?
It doesn't. This is a very high-end chocolate factory. I think we get a high single digits per bar. But. Whoa. But one of the interesting things about this company, JRS, that's one of our three ownership groups, is being on the Las Vegas Strip, you really need to focus on experiential as well as the operation side, right? So this area that we're sitting in right now, which is technically Alexis, Hex and Alexis are combined with each other. This used to be a kind of a candy business. It was part of Sugar Factory. And Matt Silverman decided 7 years ago, I think, 7 or 8, that he was going to become one of the few chocolate makers in the Western U.S. So when you go into the chocolate factory at Hexer, you could actually, we'll take you in, Ron, but most people have to look through the glass. They're actually going from the bean all the way up. They're one of the few chocolate producers that go from the bean, roasting the bean, all the way up to the bar, right? Most are chocolatiers and they're buying compound. Upstairs at Beer Park, we have a situation where, you know, partnering with Anheuser-Busch, and I was on that side of the coin when we did it, we created one of the top beer experiences in the United States, where beer menu has all the tasting notes and all food pairing. And we also have really big games up there. So we have chess pieces that are 4 feet tall, and we have skee ball and pop a shot and connect four. And people come and spend really long sessions at Beer Park. And we have 1,500 or so covers a day that hit Beer Park on the weekends. It's a very high density populated place. So we're always thinking about the little things that not everybody thinks about, and that translated into our menu with Big Chicken, which is how you end up with a $12 cookie that's the circumference of an NBA basketball.
Well, that's great. Well, Josh, thank you very much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Continued success with Big Chicken.
Thank you. Thank you very much.